Well, this week, I was in Peoria, Illinois. Didn't have to worry about packing my short sleeve shirts. Average temperature was 15, 20 degrees. And there was a river in the middle of the city, and it was blowing wind off of it. The river was half frozen. Thursday morning, I left the hotel to discover my rental car had a dead battery. I was 5 minutes from the hospital. I was supposed to be there at 7:30. The area I was supposed to be in this hospital, they had gotten one of our monitors. The unit they had gotten 16 was doing fine. But remember how we talked last week about the lost sheep? This was my lost sheep. They had one monitor, and they were being very, very particular. And I was like, I'll be there at 7:30. Not a problem. Well, a little bit of an issue. Clicker wouldn't even work. I couldn't even get into the car. I called roadside assistance with National. They informed, and does anyone here work for Ford Motor Company? Okay, well, that's good, because I'm not a Henry Ford fan at this point in time. The lady tells me, you're going to have to take off part of the door handle. In the clicker, there's a metal key, but there's no lock where you can see it. You actually, and I had to, in 12 degree weather, and people that know me know my mechanical skills anyway, I'm out there, the one day I wear scrubs, which if you wear medical scrubs, they're not the thickest things in the world. I'm on one knee, using this key to try and pry open part of the car door. Finally, after about 10 or 15 minutes, I do, it pops off, I get in the car, I have to take off the cup holders and insert the little clicker like something out of an Indiana Jones movie. Just discover it's dead as a doornail. It is. Hour 15 minutes goes by. Guy comes up, and I call my people at the hospital, let them know they're okay with it. Which, that was a blessing. Guy comes, first thing he says, oh, I jumped 5 of these off this week. And I'm thinking, blame you, Henry Ford. Just blame you. I didn't quite use that language. I'm still a work in progress on that. And anyway, got me jumped off. Guy said, you're going to need driving around a few minutes. Make sure he doesn't go dead again. I did. I'm on my way to my 5-minute drive to the hospital. I'm like, okay, I can recover this. I can recover this. I'm coming to an intersection. I can recover this. Bam! And I end up going over this way. And I look over, and there's a silver Buick right there. Go across the intersection. I pull over. And now I'm 6'4", full of rage at this moment. I get out. The driver of the Buick gets out. It's a little old lady about this tall. She has a surgically implanted breathing tube in her throat. And she is saying, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. And I realize, well, Holy Spirit's trying to tell me anger probably is not necessary at this point in time. She is just very adamant. My aggravation disappeared. There were 3 other people in the car with her, asked if everybody was okay. I was okay. Just shaking up a little bit. Other people in the car were the driver's sister, that sister's daughter, and her daughter. So it was this lady's sister, niece, grandniece. The grandniece looked to be a teenager, older teenager. This was 8:50. They had this appointment they had to get to at 9:15. Just could not be late. I mean, they were just freaking out. I'm here in Peoria, Illinois, with a wrecked rental car. And I told her I had to call the police. Because I couldn't, it wasn't my vehicle. She understood, but she was just adamant they couldn't be late. Both our vehicles were still driving, were still drivable. Walked over to the side. She told me the reason why they were so fretful. The niece had agreed to go into drug rehab. They had to be at this drug rehab facility by 9:15. If they were 1 minute late, the bed was going to be given away. It was 3 blocks away. I call a taxi. I'm like, I'll pay for you a taxi for her to get there. Well, not a fan of the Peoria taxi company either. Those are weaker.
Fine.
Aggravation reappeared a little bit. And it just got laid on my heart. And it was the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you straight up, it was the Holy Spirit. Because I wouldn't have had this kind of thinking the other way. Ma'am, can you drive your car? Is it drivable? Yes. Well, I'll tell you what. Sister, you stay here with me. Y'all drive to the appointment and just come back. I'll call the police. They shouldn't be here before you get back. Well, while the driver drove the niece and grandniece to the drug rehab place, me and her sister got in the car to stay out of the 15-degree weather. She was the mother of the girl that was going to rehab. Her exhaustion, her worry, her frustration came through every word. And for some reason, she just started opening up to me. And I realized, this is why you're here. This is why you're here this morning. This young lady had developed an addiction after finding her husband dead from suicide. That's how she started. That was her way of coping. When her daughter was little, this man took his life. She was so overwrought with guilt, she turned to the pills. It was her way of numbing. Under any, I can't throw a rock at her. Faced with those circumstances, I think any of us might have done the same thing. There's a 50-50 chance that any of us could have tried to medicate ourselves with something else. And I listened. It was laid on my heart. Sit down and shut up. And some of y'all know for me that's kind of hard. And I told her, though, that no one decides to develop an addiction. I told her a little bit about my background, about being the ER nurse and seeing the effects of addiction, and also about being a pastor. This lady looked at me, and she gave me a look of understanding, that you get it. You get it. You understand. She said, you understand. You get it. She seemed to just relax. I think she had to put that out there. And she needed someone to understand that her daughter wasn't a bad person, that she wasn't a bad person, and that she was trying as a mother. The driver returned. They got there on time. We talked about addiction and its effects on families and individuals, and the niece's name is Kristen. And we prayed there in 15-degree weather in Peoria, Illinois. The police arrived, and, well, before the police arrived, found out little skinny little driver lady also taking care of her 90-year-old dad who was starting to have dementia. Mama had passed away. And her sister, this driver was trying to take care of her sister and her family, I think, because this lady was a bundle of nerves. She had so much weight on her. They spoke about I just listened as they spoke about the ups and downs of the last several years. The police got there and filled out the paperwork and hugged them both. They went on towards the clinic, calmer than they were before a car wreck. As I was reporting the accident to the rental company, I started to realize I was being used by the Holy Spirit for this family. I would have really preferred a Waffle House instead of a car wreck. It's easy to be a Christian when things are going well. We can say amen, give a little more in the offering plate, and be nicer when things are going good. How do we do as Christians when things aren't going well? Is God or our self-pity calling the shots? I ask that question for all of us. I'm really good at throwing a pity party. I was doing a really good job of it Thursday morning. Really good job. Right before the demolition derby. And I knew this message was the message I was supposed to talk about with you this morning. As I looked through God's word, I realized this section of scripture is what I was supposed to use. I didn't realize how much. Those of you that, and I got it out, I put it in the wrong spot. A lot of you may follow my Facebook devotionals, Monday through Friday. If you look at that date, that was Thursday. This posted in the Central Time at 6:54 before I ever left. It was Philippians 4, 6 and 7. And it was all about prayer and supplication and any circumstances before any of this stuff ever happened. I knew this was what I was supposed to talk about. Rejoice in the Lord always. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. Paul used the word rejoice 16 times in the book of Philippians. Why is that important? Paul was in prison when he wrote this. Paul was in not just any prison. He was in a prison in Rome. Leprosy, tuberculosis were running rampant. It was one of the worst prisons in the known world. Paul wrote this letter 62 years after the death of Christ. This prison didn't provide you with anything but bars and walls and chains. Was Paul having a good time? No. Was God using him in the middle of that difficult time? Yes. How many times have you read a verse from the book of Philippians, from that letter, to encourage you? Philippians chapter 4. How many times? We're going to be looking at three of the most quoted verses in the Bible. How many times have they given comfort to people through Paul's words, which were written in one of the worst prisons in the world, and Paul was still being used by God? In verse 5, Paul talks about letting the gentle spirit be known. It was hard for me to let my gentle spirit be known Thursday morning. I wanted to let my displeasure be known to the Ford Motor Company, National Car Rental, the Peoria International Airport, and the people that made the 15-degree weather. The people that made the blind spot in the Buick LeSabre. I really wanted my displeasure to be known. I did not have a gentle spirit. It's hard. And you think about it, you know, you get a call, your kid's sick, you're at work, you need to come to school, washing machine quits working, shoulders hurting, you're trying to do all this other stuff. It's hard to have that gentle spirit. This gentleness does not mean, though, to be taken advantage of by anyone that can go out and work for what they need. Those people are sinning. When they try and get something from you by stealing or cheating for something they could work for, that ain't your gentle spirit. That is them sinning and trying to steal from you. These verses, I quoted them Thursday. How many times have you read these verses when you've had times of difficulty? That was written by a man in prison. It's easy to be thankful when the bills are all paid and everything's working at the house. How often do we give thanks when we're hurting, though? When the washing machine breaks, which we've had tons of experience with, and when we've had a terrible day. And before we answer that question, here's another question, though. How often do we pray about it? How often do we pray about our bad situations? Supplication in verse 6 means asking or begging for something humbly. I know for myself, in my path as a Christian, it's been hard at times to humble myself to ask for things. I've tried to get them on my own and realizing I can't. And humbling myself to God, I've just made a mess of this. This knot I've tried to untie, I have made worse. Please take it from me. That's supplication. And if we pray for something, how often do we really have the faith that God will work in our lives? And I mean we. Whenever I say this, I mean we. I'm right there. Hebrews 11:1, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. We know we'll get what we hope for. And we know there are things that are not seen, they're there. And that's hard. That can be hard sometimes in this world. And it's okay to say we have lapses in faith. We all do. And it's okay to pray for helping us to overcome our own belief, especially when things are bad. And my prayers, more than once, I've had to pray to help me overcome my own belief. And I think if we're all honest, we've all had to, especially when times are bad. And for some reason, that's when God will call on us to reach out to others, when times are bad in our own lives. And you look at Paul. In verse 7, Paul talks about peace. He's not talking about a peace that can be found in this world. Some people think about peace is found in stuff and things. The only lasting peace of the human heart is found in a relationship with Jesus. It is, and Jesus says so in John 14:27. My peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, nor let it be fearful. And it kicks in trying situations sometimes, like prison, bad news from a doctor, or a cold street after a wreck, and you're running an hour and a half late with a picky customer. Which that day turned out really good. It turned out they were running late, which is another thing. God just had another hand in it. The case I was supposed to be there for ran about an hour and a half late. The timing was just, you couldn't plan it any better. And the picky doctor was satisfied with the overall product. But I'll be the first to admit, it was hard to, you know, I was not thinking, I prayed afterwards, thank you for letting me not be hurt in all this. But that peace kicked in. When I saw that little lady, my anger went away, and I was just concerned. It was replaced by a concern. And I don't have the explanation for it. I wish I could tell you it was my good nature, but I don't think it was. I think it was the Holy Spirit working in that situation. In verses 8 and 9, I started trying to think about what they meant. How many times are we guilty of looking at the few bad things in our lives and lose sight of all the blessings we have? I am. We're in a mess. How often do we want to blame God for our actions or our inactions? They got us there. I've had points and times in my life where I have tried to bust down doors that should have been closed. I have tried to do things I shouldn't have done and got in a mess. And God, where are you at? Why'd you get me in this? And then we had to have a review. And God pointed out, okay, did I tell you to do this? No. Did I try and stop you from doing this? Yeah. Did I put that thing in your heart that said, you don't need to be doing this? Yeah. But I'm still going to help you. There might be some there thinking, Pastor, you don't know what I have going on in my life. You're right. I don't. I do know there are some things that most of us in this room would be grateful for. And there are 780 million people in this world don't even have access to clean water. If you have $1 in the bank, you're among the 20% of the richest people in the world. Right now, in this country, any point in time, there's over 500,000 homeless people. Any point in time. So we have a lot to be thankful for. And in verse 9, along with gratitude, we need to practice what we know to be right in God's eyes. And that can be hard to do. But we have to remember our relationship with God is a two-way street. Like any relationship. And I think sometimes we become lost in that. And God gives and gives and gives, but we have a responsibility. As we grow, as we're supposed to grow in our relationship with God, He gives, but we're also supposed to be part of that relationship. We're supposed to live by that code, live by those laws, live by those promises, reach out to Him, communicate with Him. How many relationships have suffered in our lives from communication or lack of it? And God, relationship with God is the same way. And we have a responsibility for acting in a way that's pleasing to God, even when things ain't going well. And this verse, number 13, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. How many people have read that verse in times of trouble? How many people realize Paul was in a can when he wrote it? I didn't for a long time. He was in one of the worst prisons in the world when he wrote that. Paul would be dead within 1 to 2 years of writing this. I think he knew he was. I think he knew the difficult times would continue for him in this world. Paul was an amazing example of keeping himself open to work for God in the best and worst of times. When Jesus called on Paul on that road to Damascus, Paul was on the fast track to power in Jerusalem. He'd been trained, bred as a Pharisee. He was getting attention. He was building up a power base. He was close to exterminating, extinguishing the Christian flame. That's how powerful and zealous he was. And in a heartbeat, he was changed. But what he did as Saul was nothing compared to what he did as Paul. Paul spent 25% of his time in his ministry for Jesus in prison. He was shipwrecked, beaten, imprisoned, ultimately beheaded. There's a place in Rome right now, can't think of the Italian name for it. It translates to three fountains. When Paul was beheaded, his head bounced three times and three fountains sprung up. Three springs, they're still there in Rome. Paul started 14 churches in the Middle East and in Europe. Paul had every right. He could have easily said, God, you're on your own. I don't like this work plan. He didn't. He hung on. With the Holy Spirit, Paul changed the landscape of the world. Those 14 churches were the start of Christianity. Within 260 years, it would be the official religion of Rome. It started with him and 120 members that sprung to 3,000. He trained generations of leaders. He wrote third to a half of the New Testament. This was in the worst of his times. Paul was an ordinary man used for extraordinary things. In these verses, it talks about the Philippians. The city of Philippi was in Greece. It was named after Philip II, Alexander the Great's daddy. And it was really like a prosperous Roman colony. The church at Philippi was one of the churches that didn't abandon Paul. The churches at Corinth, other churches, Paul started them, and they just kind of, when he got into trouble. This place kept sending him stuff and money, and because in prison, they didn't give you the three squares and the weightlifting equipment and all that stuff they give you now. They didn't give you anything. And this church kept on, and they kept serving him. They kept giving him, and they knew the importance of his work. In verse 17, when Paul was talking about not seeking the gift itself, he wasn't looking for the person's stuff. He was looking for the person and how that person would be changed through that act, a selfless act done for the right reason. And this church helped Paul, and Paul didn't take advantage of it. He took what he needed, because in verse 18, I got everything I need. There were people in Paul's time, though, that were trying to start churches for different goals, and they would take everything a person had. This man was in prison. He's like, no, I got enough. Thank you. How many people would say that? How many? And when Paul wrote about increasing the account, he's referring to Matthew 10:42. Jesus said, and if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. When people help those people who say yes to the Holy Spirit's call for working in God's plan, there's a reward for them. When you, it may not be in this world. I'll be honest, you're probably going to be ridiculed. Other stuff, this is not our world. God don't forget it. Good or bad, God don't forget it. Is there someone that helped you when God called you to do something? And you may have that urge on, you may have had an urge on your heart when everything was going bad. I can remember the first funeral service I ever conducted. Young lady I conducted it for, she may not have much money in her pocket. She would give rides to people because she was that kind of person. I thought about her when I wrote this. I'm sorry, but I thought about LaRue with this. She was that type of person. She may not have even, people asked her, you know, how are you going to get to work? God will provide. And she was just, I thought about her when I wrote this, and she was just that type of person. And I also thought about this little lady that was driving this car. She didn't do it for anything in return. LaRue never did it for anything in return. She just, because it was the right thing to do. This little lady lived from a couple counties over. She wasn't in good health. She'd had that tube for a long, long time. She was barely, she couldn't really walk well. She was being used by God to help someone. And she had a man at home that she had to be careful about even leaving at home. But she reached out from herself in difficult times to help. And as I started putting all this together, I was humbled by the examples I've seen of people reaching out in difficult times to do God's work. By Paul, LaRue, this lady, answered the Holy Spirit's call to help others. And as we go to prayer, I want you to, I want to get everybody to stand up. Is God wanting you for something? Are you in the middle of a bad time right now? You feeling a pull on your heart, a tug? Y'all, we can go ahead and stand on up. We're going to go to prayer. Is this a terrible time in your life while you're doing this? While God's giving you this pull? Once you think about it, when you've grown as a Christian, has it been the best times or the worst times? When I've grown as a Christian, it's been the worst of times. When I've reached out and helped people, when I've done it, when it's convenient, it's been the best of times. When it's meant the most, it's been the worst of times. Have you been helped by someone else that's had so much going on in their lives, yet they reached out to you in your time when they probably didn't even have it to spare, the time or the money or the energy, but they were still there? They were Paul. God wants to use us as his hands and feet, and it's seldom convenient for us when he does. And there's a reward waiting on us for answering God's call when he wants us to. Not when we feel like it. And God answers our prayers when we need it. God's always on time. Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer, Father, with open hearts. Father, we come to you in prayer with thankfulness. Thankfulness for the people in the world that hear your call when they are in these difficult times. Father, we just give thanks for them. Father, we lift them up to you. Father, we lift us up to you, and we want us to be made into those people that can still help others when it's not convenient, but when you ask us to. Father, let's carry this open heart out here into this world. Guide our hands, guide our actions, guide our words, Father. Father, help us to remember Paul's example and the other examples that we see in this life of those people that just reach out beyond themselves and they answer your call. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The altars are open.